The following episode of Monty Python Flogging Theater is brought to you by Rick Banter Hams and Ham Sandwiches. They'll make your dreams come true or your money back. Just kidding. It's actually horse meat.
Horse meat? That's ridiculous.
So what? I didn't make this world. I only live in it. Go get your horse meat sandwiches at Rick Banter Hams and Ham Sandwiches.
Good morning. I'd like to have an argument, please.
Certainly, sir. Have you been here before?
No, this is my first time.
I see. Well, we'll just see who's free at the moment. Mr. Bakley's free, but he's a little bit conciliatory. Yeah, no, not a good one. Try Mr. Barnhart, room 12. Okay? Bye now.
Thanks.
So what do you want?
Well, I was told outside that...
Don't give me that, you snotty-faced evil pan of droppings!
What?
Shut up, you pestering gob! Your type makes me puke. You vacuous, stuffy-nosed, malodorous, silly person.
Yeah, but I came here for an argument.
Oh! I'm sorry, this is abuse.
Oh, I see.
Aha, no. You want to go to room 12A, next door.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not at all.
Is this the right room for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When?
Just now.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't.
I did.
You didn't.
I'm telling you, I did.
I'm telling you, you didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a 5-minute argument or just a full half hour?
Just the 5 minutes.
Anyway, I did.
You most certainly did not.
Now let's get one thing perfectly clear. I most definitely told you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Now, look, this isn't an argument.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. It's just a contradiction.
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is not.
You just contradicted me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. And again.
No, no, no.
You just did then.
Nonsense.
Oh, this is futile.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. I came here for a good argument.
Aha. No, you didn't. You just came here for an argument.
An argument isn't just a contradiction.
Well, it can be.
No, it can't. An argument is a connected series of statements intended to establish a proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It is not just a contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position. Okay?
Yeah, but it isn't just saying no, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of anything the other person says.
It is not.
It is.
Not at all.
It is.
Ding. Thank you. That's it.
What?
That's it. Have a good day, sir. Bye now.
But I was just getting interested.
Yeah, I'm sorry. 5 minutes is up. Yeah.
That was never 5 minutes.
I'm afraid it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to argue anymore.
What?
If you want me to go on arguing, you'll have to pay for another 5 minutes.
But that was never 5 minutes just now. Oh, come on. This is ridiculous.
I told you. I am not allowed to argue unless you pay money.
All right, fine. Here.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
That was never 5 minutes just now.
I told you, I'm not allowed to argue unless you've paid.
Well, I just paid.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't.
I did.
You didn't.
I did.
Actually, you didn't. See, you actually didn't.
I don't want to argue about it.
Well, I'm very sorry, but you didn't pay.
Aha. Well, if I didn't pay, why are you arguing? Aha! Gotcha!
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. If you're arguing, I must have paid.
Not necessarily. I could be arguing in my spare time.
I've had enough of this.
No, you haven't.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your oddly still co-host, David. And sitting across the country from me at a contractually negotiated 824 miles is my co-host, Jim, who recently told me that he's watching you 24-2010.
What? What does that mean?
I don't know. It's from Community.
Oh, okay. Oh, that reminds me.
What?
I want to talk to you about something today.
What?
So it's a follow-up point that I didn't put on my list, but I want to, we might as well just get into it.
Well, that's good. We're getting
right
in the follow-up. That's what we're doing.
I want to talk about this right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so you
right here.
You and I
right now.
Right here. Right now.
Right here.
Doing it live.
Right now. Right here. Now. Right now.
Okay, gotcha. No, back when we started this shindig of a podcast, actually now 3 years ago, it's been a while.
Yeah, my shins hurt.
Yeah. Jim, stop hurting my shins. That's not how David sounds, but maybe when no one's looking or listening. Sorry, I'll get to it. I'm excited today.
Clearly.
I took St. John's wort, and I'm feeling like really good.
What is that?
It's a supplement for a positive mood.
Right.
It's not actually. That's what David said when he's done with the conversation and no longer interested.
Oh, right. It's spelled W-O-R-T. That's comforting. Yeah.
Okay. Good. That's comforting. Because where my mind went, Jim.
I was very confused. I was like, does he want it back?
Okay. Well, today's show is going to be really frenetic because I'm on drugs, but natural though, at least. But you kept hounding me about watching two shows. One of them was Office. I gave in, watched the whole show, loved it. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept bothering about another show. Do you remember what show that was that you kept?
That was Psych,
watching?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Psych.
That's actually in Psych. My follow up here. I was going to ask you about it because you said you saw episode one and you had questions.
Oh, look at me! Look at us! We're like in sync. It's like you're Justin.
Oops, I did it again.
And I'm the other guy. Oops, I did. It's gonna be me. No, you told me to watch Psych. I'm aware of it to some extent because I know one of the actors was in a show that I really like, The West Wing. The guy he played. I don't know the actor's name, like Dulé Hill.
Oh, Gus.
Yeah, and I'm like, I recognize him. I liked him in The West Wing, so I might as well watch
the second most famous Groundhog in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And I know that it must have been a popular show because it was like, what, six, seven, eight seasons, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was seven or eight.
So they did all right. They were a successful show, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and they've done movies and...
They've done movies?
Yeah, there's like three Psych really? Movies. Yeah.
They made movies.
No, there's a huge contingency of people at your church who are big fans of it, including, I think, your campus pastor.
Oh, what's his name? Okay. Well, great respect and reverence and deference that Jim is giving to his preaching pastor. So I finally decided to watch it. Christy and I watched it.
Right.
Which is like always a risk.
The whole thing?
She doesn't. No.
You're getting on me for watching two seasons of Lost in a month. Or watching a season of Lost in a month.
How far are you by the time?
We're season three, episode 10. We slowed down.
All right, thank you. No, okay, hold on, Jim. I'm not telling you to slow down. That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying it.
No, but we did slow down. We're enjoying it, and we're...
Let's slow down.
We want it to last, you know?
Okay. I would say season three, you can probably watch whatever pace you want, because when it starts to get into season
four,
you're going to want to, like, slow down a little bit, because a lot of stuff is just going to be thrown at you, and it's like, you're going to be like, stop, please stop throwing things at me. And they're just going to keep throwing things at you, and like you're bloodied
right
on the ground, and you're like begging for relief, and they're not going to do it.
You I don't know son what of I'm a saying. Bishop.
Wait, today's what a weird show we have today. I like this. It's like old times. We got old energy here.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so I watched the first episode, the pilot, mm-hmm. with Christy, and I gotta say, if the rest of the show is like the pilot, I am going to blow my own brains out. By the
What did you not like about it?
It's awful, man. It's really awful. They're trying to be too cute. They're being kind of gosh golly with their jokes. They're being too, they're overacting it. Main character, the main guy, he's cool. But Gus is like over delivering his lines with like too much. He's just like, he needs to like take a breath and relax. The jokes are funny. The gimmick is cool that he like pays attention and is really observant. I like that part,
right.
But it's like too, it's too cute. The humor is too, it's not, I'm not trying to say it's juvenile because hello, The Office. but the humor is not coming off as like really funny. It's just too goofy. Gosh golly. And I bet that it's like an episodic show and that they're solving cases every episode. I get that. That would be cool. But they're kind of overdoing this goofy kind of aspect of the show. And it's like kind of off-putting for me. And it wasn't even that good. Now, that being said, I know a lot of pilots sometimes, well, often when a pilot gets picked up, sometimes I see the show kind of take a different tone. Even some of the characters kind of change. Like if you remember Parks and Rec,
right?
The pilot episode.
Well, Ron even the whole first season with that, but yeah.
Ron Swanson was not what he came to be. He was more of like a serious guy, and just his legend and character grew into the silliness that he is now, or the awesomeness, I should say. So maybe that's going to happen, but like, I don't know, man. Like Christy and I looked, we didn't even finish it. We just turned it off because it was just so bad. And I don't mean to like be, maybe I am. Why try and hide what I'm trying to say? I'm exposing my feelings to you and I'm vulnerable. Right. And I know that I could get hurt back. And rightly so. But I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying either. That's why I laughed.
Okay. But still, it was awkward. I'm just wondering, like, if I know you like the show, so I don't know if you could like objectively like remember back to the pilot and maybe say, oh yeah, Jim, don't worry, halfway through season one it gets better. I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be interested if you can watch a few more episodes, because some of the things that you're saying you don't like are things that the show is substantively, but I will say that it gets better at being those things. I don't know if that makes sense. Like Gus is an overly dramatic character who just like seems like a stage actor in the middle of a TV show often. And you get you come to realize that that's not his acting. That's his personality. Like that's who Gus is. A lot of the jokes are froofy and silly, and The show very much has kind of a sense of like, I've heard The Simpsons described as having an elastic sense of reality, where The Simpsons is generally a realistic show, with the exception of like Treehouse of Horror episodes and a few one-offs here and there.
Yeah.
The Simpsons is generally a semi-realistic show, and then every once in a while they'll do something completely bizarre, like cut Homer's finger off, but the show typically quickly snaps back to reality. And a lot of that centers around people putting up with Sean's shenanigans. There's a lot of things that he does that in any reasonable police station, he would not only be fired for, but arrested for. So a lot of it is just silliness. But I think it's very clever silliness. And I should also point out a big part of the show's humor is referencing 80s movies, which I feel like that will, once they really get into it, that'll appeal to you. Because Sarah and I have felt every time we've watched it, like we're only getting 2/3 of the jokes and we still like it.
Okay. I think the best point you made is that maybe they just need to get more skilled in working with each other on the kind of jokes that, you know, the show will be known for. I can get that the actors can get more chemistry as time goes on.
And the characters do grow into their roles and mature in their acting.
Well, you're definitely right about that. So maybe I'm a little bit unfair in my criticisms, but maybe Christy and I will watch a couple more episodes and see how it goes. And I'll report back to you. And when I do report back to you, I'll say, hey, we're in like middle of season 6. And you'll be like, Jim, I can't break down the episode.
I'm going to talk to Sarah, because you're right. It is very, it's not 100% episodic. There are storylines that weave throughout, but it's a lot more like TV from that era where there are a lot of episodes. Excuse me. There are a lot of episodes that you could just watch entirely as a one-off, and nothing would be spoiled. You would know, like it could have been S1 E3 or it could have been S5 E6, you know,
it's like Law and Order.
Yes.
There is no narrative progression in that, a show like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thought you were giving me a look there. Jim, I don't care about that reference.
No, I was just realizing, like, I've seen two or three episodes of Law & Order, but I don't think I could actually articulate that Law & Order is that way because, you know, those two or three episodes seemed episodic, as you would say.
You can trust you can trust a Baptist and his opinions on Welch's grape juice and Law & Order. Christy and I love that show. Okay, well, then great. I will give it another shot. I'll report back to you and... I cannot wait to ask you next week about your progression through the show,
Lost. Oh, I did have a little bit of follow-up on Lost from our discussion last week, which is simply to say that I got Jack and Locke confused. And so pretty much everything I said about Jack should have been said about Locke and vice versa.
Huh. Because that was weird for me. I don't think I had enough sense to detect that you were getting them mixed up. I don't think there was a way for me to really figure that out. But I should have picked up on the fact that you said you really liked Locke in the first season.
Right.
Locke clearly changes
yep.
in the second season to not be as Locke as he was in the first season. I thought, like, I was sure that you would pick up on that and notice that and go, I don't know, what's going on with Locke? He's not as cool as he was in season one.
Yeah.
Jack hasn't really...
Well, Jack's the one that I said has a fairly stereotypical character arc where he comes in as, like, the good guy who... has to be the leader because it's in his nature. And before you know it, he's grizzled and willing to do like either selfish or just make hard decisions.
This makes a lot of sense.
It really does.
Jack really isn't, I mean, he's a focus in a couple of the episodes in season two, obviously, as they go through the cast, but he has no major plot arcs in season two. Yep. They start to happen in season three. So I guess we'll check back on this discussion and,
Next up, Jim, last Thursday I mentioned, you see the purple light behind me?
I do. On camera, folks.
Last Thursday I mentioned that, last Thursday I completely rejiggered my office because I have a fairly small room to have an office in. And where I put the desk was really stupid, but I kind of had to put it there because we don't have blackout curtains and I do color sensitive work. And so I couldn't, like, I needed to have the monitor be not on a wall that's window facing or across from a window because glare. Now we have blackout curtains and I got a new monitor. So I just like went through and completely rejiggered my whole office. And I just wanted to show this to Jim and we'll put a picture in the show notes because it's the coolest office I've ever had.
It just looks kind of like remarkably normal. Oh, there's a wall there. You're just showing me a picture of the wall.
Widescreen.
Okay. Oh, whoa. Look at you.
Yeah.
We got it all. You got the purple light.
Yep.
It's nice and organized. You got stuff in there. Nice chair.
Got some shelving over here. I'm going to get a little bit more shelving.
And that, the door that you're showing me right now is the door to a hallway where your washer and dryer was. And when I saw that why do you only have one monitor? Where's your second monitor?
It's a 32-inch 4K running at 4K.
Okay, so
I don't really need a second monitor.
Oh, I was going to say, man, look at you. You got the technology here.
I do, yeah. Well, my old monitor died. Well, was dying. The only one of the inputs worked by the time that I put it to rest.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to all of a sudden find out that now that input doesn't work.
You know, I joke with you commonly or frequently that you go through a lot more equipment than I do. I've had the same computer for years and years and years, same monitors. Mm-hmm. And I always like make a joke like, oh, geez. You know, David knows what's best for me in terms of computer equipment, but he can't stick with anything for more than a year. I think it's because you just work your stuff to death. That's probably what
I do use it full time, like, you know,
like
more than 40 hours a week. Okay. And then also, I don't know. I do put higher demand on, like, in terms of thermals and stuff than a lot of people. Yeah. I don't know what's been the story with me and monitors. Monitors and MacBook Pros. I'm on my fourth Logic board, actually.
Oh, geez. Not a lot of luck then, huh?
Right back here, I have another 16-inch MacBook Pro that Apple just sent me because they replaced the Logic board, and I'm just going to sell it because...
Oh, man.
For laptop needs, I've switched to PC, and for desktop needs, I'm running macOS on a Linux host as a virtual machine.
Okay. I don't understand any of that.
Somebody might understand it.
That might be a big deal.
Yeah. They release the 16-inch with the new Apple processors, I will be immediately switching to that.
Yeah. But I thought they already did that. That hasn't happened yet.
They released the smaller, lower end, like lightweight laptops, and I just need more power. Actually, I don't even need more power so much as I need more RAM.
Okay. But the new editions will fix all those problems. It'll be more than enough RAM and processing power and all that good stuff than you need.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Because like an upgrade, you can say like, well, I need 50% more capacity, and the laptop does 51%.
I don't know. I don't know exactly.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. I know what they do in the current 16-inch MacBook Pro, and I doubt that when they release the new 16-inch MacBook Pro, they're going to have a regression. So I'm sure I'll be able to get at least my performance. I suspect in terms of like actual performance, it'll be somewhere between 2 and 4 times faster than the laptop that I'm about to sell on eBay.
But hello, eBay, check it out. No.
Anyway, all of that to say, I may actually start doing live streaming of some things now that I have like a nice little office. Like this looks like a streamer's kind of situation here.
It's a good look.
I was thinking it would be interesting when I do like either like episode artwork or other like generic graphic designy things to just create a YouTube. Well, I have a YouTube channel and just live stream and talk about what I'm doing as I do it. Because
you could probably do a YouTube channel just off of the Lord of the Rings 4K. I mean, there'd probably be an audience out there for it.
That's true.
A listener of ours was talking to me the other day and said, "You guys in that Lord of the Rings stuff."
We still need to watch Return of the King.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you haven't. Yeah. Okay.
Not yet.
But anyways, like it's just like it's noticed out there in listener world that that's like we made that into a thing. We at least made it interesting enough to listen to, but
well, I'm glad to hear that.
We got to be careful in the technical stuff.
You got another point here, Jim. Speaking of technical stuff.
Yeah. So last week I made a passing comment about sweeps week in reference to like mid season on Lost, things kind of get crazy. So there was a sweeps week event in season 2 where Ana Lucia and that other chick got shot by Michael. Spoiler alert.
Honk.
And I know that's right. Our proprietary spoiler honk by David. Other podcasters don't steal it. And I know that at the time that was the reason why that big thing happened. Obviously, it was part of the story, but they do it again in season 3 of Lost. So there's a cool thing that happens in the middle that you'll find out. And those were Sweeps Week related. And I said that Sweeps Week was a broadcasting event where ad rates were especially high. So networks did crazy things in their shows to try and attract the most watchers so that they could charge really good ad rates and make profit. Well, that's not really correct. It's kind of like half correct by a matter of a couple of degrees.
I love that you're doing this. It just correct. Makes me so happy.
What? What do you mean?
This is just such a nuanced and complicated issue that like we spent like 4 seconds on, and now you're doing like an exposé, and this is gold podcasting, you know?
Well, this is where in my opinion has changed me. But I'm that at this point, that's probably going to be the clearest my explanation is going to be, because I actually did some reading on what Sweeps Week actually is, and it's really complicated and I don't understand it. So Chris Ragsdale, he's the one who pointed this out to us on our Slack channel, our close personal mutual friend, longtime listener, friend of the show, Chris Ragsdale. I would recommend Chris, if you understand this, he was in broadcasting for a while, so he understands this. He says it's actually Nielsen ratings related. And hey, Chris, if you want to call into the show and leave a voicemail and explain it for me, please do. 707-998-TULIP. That's 707-998-8547 or 707-99-TULIP. Give that number a call. Leave an explanation, because I don't know what I'm going to do at this point. It actually is. So Nielsen Ratings, it's an organization that tracks viewership for TV shows. And they've been doing this for a long time. And Sweeps Week, I went to the website howstuffworks.com to try and figure this out. Because, I mean, it's just the only way it's going to work. Because I read a couple of things on Google and it didn't make any sense. So I'm just going to go ahead and read this. Sweeps Week is a throwback to simpler times when Americans watched TV shows on actual TVs rather than laptops, tablets, or smartphones. And 50 million people sat down to the same episode of I Love Lucy at the same time on the same channel all across the country. In 2013, a show on ABC was lucky to get 5 million viewers.
I'm going to skip past in the article. So today, Sweeps Week is four separate 4-week periods spaced throughout the year. I implied that there was only one Sweeps Week. There's actually four. Sweeps Week remains an important gauge for TV advertisers, even though the entertainment landscape looks very different than it did in the days of the hunt. This article is garbage. Okay, you know what? So basically, it's like a set time where they gauge the viewership. And then that tells the networks which shows the people like the most versus shows that they don't like. The reason why there's confusion is because I thought ratings were calculated real time every day. So like when we watch a show like American Idol, you can find out the next day how many people watch the show. I thought that that was all the time, but apparently Sweeps Week is in a unique time during the year where it's gauged in a special way. This is where it confuses me. So if a network finds out that their show is doing really, 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 really good, then they can charge good advertising rates to make a profit. So that's why they throw all the cool stories and crazy stuff into the storyline during Sweeps Week. But see, I thought that this was done all the time. So this is really confusing. So I was kind of weirdly somewhat right about the advertising rates.
Right.
But not, that's not the heart of what Sweeps Weeks is.
Well,
Sweeps
and it doesn't Week matter nearly is. As much anymore.
Certainly not anymore.
Because a lot of it is real time through things like TiVo and Comcast, mm-hmm. monitoring what you watch on your digital cable box, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
I guess you could still have one, technically, because you can accurately find out, how, you know, a show. I can't think of a show that's happening right now, like ABC Nightly News. It could be watched on TV. David's laughing at me. It could be watched on TV. It could be streamed, Apple TV. I don't know. You can kind of get all that information together and just give one lump number, you know, 10 million people. So I don't know. I'm a little confused by it. What a great way for me to, what a great follow-up point, Jim. Thank you so much for ruining our lives. Get out of my face. That's a listener talking to me. I'm sorry.
I was very confused. You kind of hurt my feelings.
That's why.
Next up, I have, Jim, if you like Lost, the more that I watch it, I am convinced that you will also like Fringe. It's also by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah,
it's
I want to watch that.
Yeah, that would be a strong recommendation to you.
I really want to watch that show.
That's literally it for that follow-up point. And then Fry and Laurie, not Hugh and Laurie. Yeah. Hugh and Laurie is a person without the and. He's the fellow who played House on the show House.
That's how the French refer to him. Hugh and Laurie. Sorry, I don't
know. So funny I was rebuked fairly openly on the Slack for that and needed to correct it.
Fry and Laurie. British sketch comedy show by Stephen quite Fry funny. And Hugh Laurie. Yeah, quite funny. Good stuff. And then Hugh Laurie went on to star in the hit show House, ran 8 seasons.
He's also in a live action 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, he's in that. He's also in that mouse show, Stuart something. Stuart Little.
Really?
He played the dad in Stuart Little, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me now. I've seen that movie a couple times.
Yeah. Bit parts, but then he played House.
All right. Well, that's all the follow-up I have.
Now that the energy level is really high, let's go ahead and play our bit for this week's FCU episode. And we'll go ahead and do that. Don't give me that look, David. Okay. We need to do a little radio theater here.
Okay. Listeners, we don't have a bit yet, Jim.
Shut up.
It's mostly my fault because I haven't written a bit in like 6 weeks. And so we don't have it yet, but we're going to record it on Friday, but we're not 100% sure like what it is yet. But anyway, radio theater. Flourish.
New from Flogging Studios comes an exciting new chapter in the Jason Bourne saga. A new hero for the ages, a spy you can relate to, but he probably won't be able to fulfill his mission. He's incompetent Jason Bourne. In theaters this December.
Jason, we have a critical mission due to launch in about 5 minutes. We need you to break into the Chinese embassy and steal critical information we need to ensure our nation's survival. Are you ready?
Well, sure, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Could go either way. So how do you get there? I guess I could use Google Maps on this Android phone that I have that the Chinese are spying on, but probably not, though. Could you drop me off by the front door? Thanks.
He's more dangerous than ever, but not for the reason you might think.
I'm sitting here in this diner. and I couldn't possibly tell you where the exits are. I never looked. I don't know the license plate numbers of the cars outside because I completely disregard that information. I can't tell you if our waitress is left-handed, right-handed, no-handed. That's right. Our waitress could literally have no hands, and I wouldn't know because I never check those things out. A handless waitress walking around, and that doesn't bother me at all. Not one bit. Not a worry in the world. I couldn't run 10 feet flat out without my hands shaking because, well, I'm out of shape and I hate running. Now, how do I know all this? Because I don't know what I'm doing. You understand?
Finally!
New underwhelming fight scenes.
Ow! Stop hitting! What? Did you just roll up a magazine to hit me with? Ow! That hurt more than I thought it would. How do you do that? Ow!
Bland car chases.
Jason, the Russians are on our tail in the middle of Moscow, and you can't drive more than 30 miles an hour? Step on it, man! Our national security is at stake. Think of all the lives we'll save if you would just speed up the car.
Do you see this traffic? If I drive too fast, I get confused, okay? Stop yelling at me. I'm trying to concentrate. Oh, hold on. We have a roundabout coming up. I never know what to do on these things. Hold on. Are we supposed to yield to incoming cars or no? I can't remember what to do.
He's not the hero you want. He's not the hero you need. He's not really anything you want or need. He's incompetent Jason Bourne.
The CIA spent $30 million on you, training you to be a soulless killing machine capable of handling any situation, besting any opponent in hand-to-hand combat, calculating risk to a level far above that of the smartest people we have, and you're telling me you locked your keys in your car for the fourth time this week? You have to be putting me on, Bourne.
I just forget sometimes. I just don't remember as gooder as you. No need to be mean about it.
As gooder as me? You are the biggest disappointment I can think of, Bourne. Are you getting amnesia again? This has to be amnesia. Did you hit your head? The only explanation I can think of to describe your incompetence is that you suffered major, catastrophic brain trauma.
Look, I have done a lot of missions for you and did just fine, okay? I'm Jason Bourne, a living legend. I'm capable. I'm smart. And I deserve more respect around here.
Respect, huh? You do realize you walked into the office this morning with your pants on backwards. Janice, in accounting, noticed it. How do I explain this to my boss when you need to go on a mission? Oh, don't worry, sir. He can decode encrypted messages in a Somali desert sandstorm, even though he doesn't know how to put pants on. And what's this I hear about you accidentally shooting Johnson's foot twice during weapons training? Not once, twice.
You know how I am about guns, okay? As soon as one is in my hand, you know, I feel woozy, I lose my concentration, and just things happen, okay? What do you want?
He was 20 feet behind you, Jason. Behind you. And you shot him twice. In the same spot. How do you manage to pull that off? That kind of ineptitude almost rises to the level of impressive when you really think about it.
So you do admit that I'm still impressive, huh?
I think I'm going to make a call and disappear you.
Get your tickets today for the film event of the year. He's clumsy, inept, doesn't know how to put pants on, and accidentally shoots people in the foot. He's incompetent Jason Bourne.
Rats! I locked my keys in the car again. That can be really dumb sometimes.
In theaters now.
Hey! Can somebody call a locksmith for me? I haven't paid my phone bill in a while because I impulsively blow my paycheck on Fortnite. Anybody? Hello? Hello?